To begin tonight a series of messages upon the blood. I believe that's one of the most important subjects that you can find in the Word of God. And it's a subject that the modernist, the infidels have hated. I mean, the blood has been a hated doctrine from the very beginning of really of time, because we'll find tonight from the very beginning the blood has been an important issue that has been for the good of people. And tonight we want to begin a series. I just have entitled the series, The Precious Blood of Christ. And certainly we know that the Bible teaches us and tells us that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is very precious. There's no element upon the face of God's earth that has ever been like the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we, as I said, there's been many that have ridiculed it, and many that have mocked and made fun and talked about the slaughterhouse religion that we fundamentalists believe and trust. But I'm glad tonight it's through the blood. It's only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Went down to the homecoming this afternoon of a church here close to Olive Branch, and Sugargrove Singers were singing there this afternoon, so I wanted to go hear them, see them again, talk to them, and walked in. The preacher was preaching on the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, boy, that's all right. I'll get me some points on that. I wish I had his message. I wish I had his outline. It's better than mine. And he did a good job on preaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then I'll be with Brother Kenny Calloway and the Sugargrove Singers. They got up and they started singing about the blood. And then Brother Steve, he got on some things that I'm going to get on tonight. And I said, well, you folks that are here, I said, you don't have to come back tonight. Brother Ronnie and Thalen, them was there. And I said, that you've heard my message now. That's about it. But I'm glad it's through the blood of our Savior. And I want you to turn tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter number 12. Now, tonight, we're just by way of introduction, really. The entire message will be more of an introduction to the verses that we'll be using the weeks to come. As the Lord will permit us to have these, it may not be every Sunday, but these next few weeks we'll be thinking upon the subject of the precious blood of Christ. And I want you to turn tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse number 13. I had Brother Ronnie sing that song we just did, because it goes right in connection with this verse that we're going to read tonight, and then we're going to read over in the New Testament. The Bible says, Exodus chapter 12, verse number 13, "And the blood shall be to you, shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Lord said here, when I see the blood, I will pass over." And thank God tonight he still, when he sees the blood, he passes over us. And we have redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. In the New Testament, 1 Peter, chapter number 1, we want to begin reading with verse number 18, and read down through the remainder of the chapter, verse 25. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse number 18. I want to speak tonight upon the subject of glimpses of the blood. We're just going to see a few places in the Bible that has to do with the blood. Not necessarily the blood of Christ, but it all points to His blood and to that ransom that He gave for us. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 18 says, "Forasmuch as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ." And this is a verse we want to take our thought from all these weeks. But we're not redeemed from those things that we have from the traditions of our fathers and the things that the world has given us and different folks have handed down to us, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Now in these verses tonight, here in 1 Peter, if we were to take time and just stay right here, there's enough preaching in those verses to keep us busy from now to a long time. You find here that we're not redeemed by the corruptible things of this world. We're not redeemed by silver, gold, and the conversation, the things that we've heard. You see, a lot of folks believe they're saved, and a lot of folks believe they have life because of what someone has told them. We don't have life because of that. We have life because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The subject of the blood is one of the most important found in the Scriptures. And I believe when we come to this subject, we ought to treat it with reverence and holiness to God, because we're talking about that life of the flesh is in the blood, the Bible tells us in Leviticus. And we know that Jesus Christ literally poured out His life, and He gave forth His life through His blood that we might have eternal life. So we're not redeemed by what men tell us. We're not redeemed because we're born into a good family. We're not redeemed because we're raised in church. We're not redeemed tonight because we've gone out through the baptistry. We're not redeemed because that we have our name on a church roll, whether it be this one or any other. But we are redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. And very, very much is said in the Scriptures concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe you can be wrong on a lot of things in this Bible. I believe the Bible teaches us that we ought to try to be right on as many things as we can. And the Scripture tells us, and it'll clarify things for us. We can be wrong on some things, and everything still be all right. But I don't believe we can be wrong about the blood. I don't believe we can be wrong about that spotless Lamb of God that shed His life's blood, that we could have life through His name. And so we find that God's creation is a blood creation. And there's a lot of things said from Genesis to Revelation concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood is like the scarlet thread that came out of Rahab's window. I mean, it flows from Genesis to Revelation. Just about every book in the Bible has something to say about the blood. The word itself is used over 400 times in the Scriptures, and over 100 times just in the New Testament. So there must be something about this thing of the blood that's important. If God gives us types and tells us in the Old Testament and shows us how it's going to be, and then we have the type personified in the Lord Jesus Christ that gave His blood, then I believe it's something worth us studying. It's something worth that we can look into the Scriptures and see what the Lord has to say. Now, as I said a while ago, there are those that belittle the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those that hate and deny. There are modernists that have for years and for decades have laughed and mocked and made fun of what we consider that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are those even that are considered fundamentalists that have their problems with the blood. And I believe they have real problems. And this here that I'm going to read to you is nothing new. I've mentioned it before. There's a man out in California by the name of MacArthur. And he makes some statements that are nothing more than heresy concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have some of his books. I read some things that he's written. But when it comes to this subject, he is wrong. And there's some things that we need to clarify. It says, for those of you who perhaps do not know, Dr. MacArthur holds to the following false teaching. He advocates that the death and blood of Christ can and should be separate. He said it's not Christ's blood that saves man, but it's His death. MacArthur further states that the blood of Christ ran into the dirt and the dust and ceased to exist as an entity immediately after the crucifixion. Additionally, he states that the blood of Christ is not in existence today, and it was not applied in heaven, but all that was done about the blood was done in a figurative way and not literally. I do not believe that. I do not accept that statement. I believe the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven today as a token of what He did for us there upon Calvary's tree. Here, the writing of this man, he makes a statement. He says it was his death and not his blood that is precious. Well, I read here tonight that it's the blood of Christ that is precious. He makes a statement, if we say it is the blood that saves, what are we saying? Well, His actual blood physically does not save us. He goes on and says that clearly it was His death once for all. If we are saved by His substitutionary death for us, but it's not by His blood. The shedding of blood has nothing to do with salvation. Now, I don't believe that statement. It's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. And we want to talk tonight, and I want to give you some things tonight concerning the blood, that precious blood, and just get a glimpse real quickly of some things about the blood. You know, you see, Calvary is the center focal point of the Bible. I mean, everything in the Word of God revolves around the place called Calvary. Every person, the center place is Calvary. The central person of the Word of God is that one that died upon Calvary's tree, and He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the central principle of all the Word of God is the shedding of His blood. And it all happened there upon Calvary. It all happened where Jesus died. As we said earlier, we're not redeemed by the things of this world. We're not redeemed by water. We're not redeemed because of who we are. We're not redeemed because we have good health. That doesn't have a thing to do with it. We're not redeemed because we have wealth. We're redeemed through and because of the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God sees the blood, He sees, first of all, the redemption for sinners. Thank God tonight we are redeemed by and through and because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only does God see the redemption for sinners, but He sees remissions for sin. He sees the reconciliation that we have with the sovereign God. Now we can have fellowship with God because of the middle wall of partition that has been broken down, and the blood that was shed there upon Calvary's tree has given us access that we can have a fellowship and a relationship with the sovereign God of this world. He that created heaven and earth. Now I can go to the very throne room of God. I can go into His presence. I can literally go into the Holy of Holies because of the blood that I have that's been applied unto my heart. And so we find that these things is what God sees when He sees the blood of the Son of God. He sees the resurrection of His Son, which is my Savior. And if it hadn't have been for that precious blood, He would not have raised again from the dead, because He would not have been God. And I remember years ago a song came out and people still sing it, and it's just simply, the blood will never lose its power. I'm glad tonight the blood is just as powerful as it was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago. The blood is just as powerful tonight as it was the night I got saved. It's just as fresh, just as real. And it'll do as much for a sinner tonight as it did 10 years ago for somebody else, or last week for someone. The blood of Jesus Christ is the important element of the Word of God that brings us to the Lord Jesus Christ, because it was God's Son that died giving forth His life. Now I want us to notice the first glimpse of the blood in the Bible. Now, we're not taking the first time the word blood is used, but we're just seeing the application and the principle of blood in the Word of God. In Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 21, we find here tonight the first glimpse of the Bible concerning the Word of God, concerning the blood of the Lord Jesus. And here we find in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 21, it says, "Unto Adam also, and unto his wife, did the Lord make coats of skins and clothe them." Now you say there's nothing in there about the blood. Well, it doesn't take too much of a mentality to realize that those coats of skin had to come from an animal, and those animals had to die to give up their skin. And so therefore blood was shed, and their sacrifice was made that Adam and Eve's nakedness could be covered. Here we have the first picture of redemption. We have the first picture of salvation, of substitutionary death. One dying for someone else. And we find the Word of God says Adam and Eve, they sinned, and in their sin they realized they were naked, and they sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness. And nothing more tonight than what people do in their way of trying to get saved on their own. It's nothing more than the fig leaves of this world, and it will not suffice. But something had to die. Some blood had to be shed in order that sin would be covered, and sacrifice had to be made. And so we find that God provided that sacrifice. Salvation, by the way, tonight is completely, totally of God. And I believe we find in this scripture here, we find that principle is given to us, that God was the one that provided the sacrifice. Think with me if you would. It was God that made the animal. It was God that killed the animal. It was God that skinned that animal and made those coats and clothed them, all of God, because God had to give forth a covering for sin. And we have that word covering in the Old Testament word of atonement. And we'll see that in just a few moments. The covering of sin. But blood had to be shed. And there the sacrifice of innocent animals had to be made because of Adam and Eve's sin. And I find the New Testament, the Bible tells me that the blood of Jesus Christ had to be shed, that my sin, not only would it just be covered, but thank God, it'd be taken away. In the Old Testament, the blood of those animals, the rams and the bulls and the goats and the turtle doves, all the blood did for that was push their sin forward for a year. It covered it for a while. But thank God, when the Lamb of God came, died upon Calvary's old rugged, cruel Roman cross, there the blood of Jesus Christ that had been typified through all these things, not only did it cover my sin, but it threw it away and never to be seen again anymore. So we find here, the sacrifice has to be made. And Jesus Christ, thank God tonight, is my sacrifice. I get ill when I read something like that. To belittle the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that his blood was nothing more than just an element, just a chemical that, like you and I have. I'll tell you what, you can shed your blood for someone all you want to, and it'll not help them a bit. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, the Bible says, from all unrighteousness. Wonder why the Bible, if it meant death, wonder why it didn't say death. If it meant the death is what saved us and cleansed us, well, why Scripture doesn't say? No, the Scripture tells us from Genesis to Revelation that salvation is no salvation at all if there is no shedding of blood. And so we find that the blood principle is given to us here in Genesis chapter 3. Unto Adam, also to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. God covered their nakedness. God covered in type their sin, and then he begins the process from there on all the way through the Bible that tells us that blood has to be shed for a sin offering and a sin covering. It was a blood shedding sacrifice. It was a blood substitutionary sacrifice. The substitution had to be these animals. Someone says, what kind of animals was that? I have no idea. I don't know what kind of animals it was God killed, but I know God killed them. And God shed blood, innocent blood, for the guilty. Those little animals that God made the coats of skins from, they had no guilt of their own, but they had to give their life that the sin of man might be covered and the nakedness of man and woman might be covered. And those little innocent lambs was the substitute. It was the go-between, the propitiation for Adam and Eve at that time. And they covered their sins because a lamb or an animal, whatever it might have been, was killed that day by God, and God made the coats of skin, and God covered them. Thank God tonight, the principle, that first glimpse of the blood is a sacrifice had to be made. And we come over to the New Testament, the sacrifice was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my sacrifice. He is the one that took my place, and he's the one that has taken your place, and he has given us life. We find these animals were cut off from the land of the living. Those animals that were killed there to provide Adam and Eve a covering of their sin and of their nakedness, they were cut off from the land of the living. Doesn't tell us anything about them. It just says God made coats of skins. And to have skins, you have to have animal. And for an animal to have that coat of skin be made, he had to sacrifice, had to give up. You see, we can give a lot of things, but if we sacrifice, we give a lot, we give it all. And see, we find here this first glimpse of the blood, the sacrifice that has been made. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 8, it says that he was cut off from the land of the living. There the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, gave his life. He had Christ left no seed. He left no offspring, and he was cut off from the land of the living. And then the Bible says, who shall declare his generation? I'm glad tonight that we are the ones that are to declare. We are the ones that are to give and to reveal the generation of the Son of God. Now, if you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter number 4. We're right here at it almost. Genesis chapter number 4. And we're going to see the second glimpse of blood here in this chapter. And here, not is this a sacrifice, but now we have a slaying. We have the story of
Of course, Adam in the Bible says knew Eve his wife. She conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. I believe Eve really, really thought there was that man that God had said that I'll make him bruise the head of the serpent. And she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel. Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel he also brought of the firstling of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why are thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And now notice verse number 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Now here we find another glimpse of the blood. And here we find not God shedding blood for mankind, but we find man shedding blood because of hatred and because of wickedness and because of sin. Cain brought his first fruits of the ground, and Abel brought the firstling of his flock. You say, well, looks like God would have taken Cain's offering. You know, that's the problem. Cain had an offering, but Abel had a sacrifice. Abel had that which he knew had to be given, and had to give that sacrifice that was acceptable and pleasing unto God. Now, the Bible does not tell us and does not give us anything about what Adam and Eve taught their boys. But I believe just pure logic would let us understand and know that from the time that God slew those animals and covered Adam and Eve's nakedness, from that very moment that God did that for them, they began to teach those boys that the only way you can be right with God is to have a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. One knew about it, one rebelled against it. Abel knew what he ought to bring, and the Bible says that he brought an offering of the firstling of his flock. He brought the best, and he brought the first of his own flock, and God accepted that, and he rejected Cain's offering of the ground. You see, Cain was the first liberal that ever was. He said, I can do it my way. I can just go ahead and I've done this work and I've tilled the ground and God's blessed the works of my hands, and so I'll just give God what I have done. That's what a lot of people try to do. A lot of people try to give God what they have done. A lot of people try to offer God offerings and sacrifices of the works of their own hands and the works of the labors of their life. But God does not want that. God desires and God demands that blood be shed and a sacrifice be made. God's not going to accept it unless there's blood involved in that. And so therefore God rejected Cain's offering. He had an offering, but Abel had a sacrifice. So the first glimpse we find, there's a sacrifice given. The second glimpse, we have a slaying that a brother kills his older or younger brother. Now let's look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter number 8. In Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 20, we find there's another offering that is given. This is what I've just put down as number 3, the third glimpse of the blood that we're looking at tonight. This is after the flood. Noah and the animals in the ark have gone through the flood. We come out on the other side. In Genesis chapter number 8, verse number 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took every clean beast and every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. Boy, I like that. Do you know what that means? That means the Lord was satisfied with what he saw. God was satisfied with what he saw that Noah did. And it says God smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will again smite anymore any, every living thing as I have done. where while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. That's why we have winter. That's why we have summer. That's why we have seed time. That's why we have harvest. God said it'll never be interrupted again. And God says here, he smelled a sweet savor. You know why? Because there's blood that was shed there upon that altar. Now, don't teach your children. And for years, a lot of folks don't understand this. But do not teach your children that all that went into the ark, that they went two by two. There's more to it than that. God took of every animal two by two, yes. But God also told Noah, said, of the clean beast of the field, you take by sevens. Don't just take two of them. Well, wonder why. Well, God knew on the other side, somebody, someone, something was going to be offered on that altar. And the clean beast was given for the offering unto God. God saw that. God smiled upon it. And the scripture says here that it was a sweet savor unto the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I want my life to be in such a way that God can look upon me and smile and say it's a sweet savor of the things that we do for the Lord. Now, thank God we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. That sacrifice has been made, and it's in the Lord. It's in the Son of God. But here, Noah took these animals, and the Bible says he offered burnt offerings on the altar. And here we find not the sacrifice, not the slaying, but now it's a sweet savor unto God. God looked upon that. God was satisfied. God smiled upon that. And God blessed Noah because he did what he told him to do. And so we need to be careful when we're teaching children and think about these things that Noah was instructed to take animals, yes, two by two. But of these that God said was for the offerings, he said take seven by seven. Why? Because if you don't, when you offer them, that's going to be the end of it. They hadn't had seven little lambs on there, seven by seven, seven male, seven female. If they hadn't had those, when they offered the lamb, there would be no more sacrifice. Thank God we have sacrifice now, and it's in the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we find Noah. We find the offering of sacrifice of thanksgiving. And God had brought them through the flood. And now they're over on the other side, and he gives an offering. Wonder why Noah didn't go out and plant a garden. He could have. Wonder why Noah didn't go out and do something with his hands? Because he had more sense than Cain did. He understood more than Cain did. Cain said, I'll give you what I've done. Noah said, I'll give you those animals that you told me to bring here into the ark. And so there we find the glimpse of the sweet smelling savor that came unto the Lord through the sacrifice of blood. You see, from Genesis on, God has smiled upon a blood sacrifice. And then for some fellow to come along and say the blood's not important. For some guy to say it doesn't really matter. For some guy to say the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ was nothing more than just a chemical blood like everybody else. I disagree. I hardly disagree. That's heresy. The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me is the blood that is pure and spotless. It's not tainted by the sin of Adam because it was come from the Father which is in heaven. And so we see that glimpse of blood. Now, if you would turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. We'll see the fourth glimpse here tonight of the blood. Hebrews chapter 9. I hope you're getting something out of it. I sure did enjoy studying, getting these things ready. The blood of Jesus, so important. And we find another glimpse of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we find it here in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. And then we'll go back to the Old Testament also. We're dealing now primarily with just introductory parts of these messages on the blood. Hebrews chapter number 9, verse number 19. It says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people. Now we could turn back tonight to the book of Exodus and you'll find where Moses did that. He says he took the blood of the calves and the goats. He mixed it with the water and the scarlet wool and hyssop. And he sprinkled both the book, which was the book of the law. Brother, this book's been covered by the blood. And he sprinkled also the people. Luke verse number 20, saying, this is the blood of the testament, which God... Luke verse 21 now. This is where I want us to look. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. Now here, this glimpse here in the book of Hebrews, I just put that out here as the sprinkled blood. The Bible says here in verse number 21, moreover, he sprinkled the blood both of the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Now if we just take time tonight, we go back to Exodus. And you can find all the vessels of that ministry as they laid out. And you could go from here now and take about a six-month study of the tabernacle, how all that points to the Lord Jesus Christ, how that all looks and shows us Christ. And the Bible says here that every article of that ministry was sprinkled with the blood. Why was it? Because it's typifying, it was showing something that was yet in the future. You'll find the brazen altar that's in the outer court, the courtyard. You'll find that brazen altar was sprinkled with the blood. You'll find the brazen laver where the priest would go daily and wash his hands. In that brazen laver, that brass represented judgment. And there they would go, and in that laver they'd see themselves in the water, the reflection showing that a man was judged, and he washes his hands in that. And the Bible says that brazen altar, that brazen laver rather, was sprinkled also with the blood. The table of showbread, the candlestick, the altar of incense, all of those that is on the holy place. And then all those were sprinkled with blood. And then you go back behind the Holy of Holies. You have the Ark of the Covenant. And on top of that, you have the mercy seat. And the Scripture tells us that those things were sprinkled with blood. Amen. Well, why? Because the blood is important. That is that element that God was going to send in His Son that would give you and myself life eternal through His name. So tonight we find there chapter 14. Brother Steve Epley got on that this afternoon. I said, well, there's my message. And here we find in Leviticus chapter number 14 and verse number 14, not only was the article sprinkled with blood, but notice here about the priest. It says, the priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it on the tip of the right ear of him that is to be cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. Now, if you're to go back to the book of Exodus chapter 29, verse number 20, you'll find that God told Moses to take Aaron and all of his sons and do that very thing to them as the priest of God. You say, well, why in the world would God say, put blood on his right ear, the tip of his ear? Now, I don't know if that's the top or the bottom. It's just the tip of his ear. And to put it on his right thumb and on his right great toe or his big toe. Why would that be given? Because I'll tell you what, God's not going to have anything to do with anyone that is not cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a type, that's a picture of you and I, our ears being cleansed by the blood, that we would hear what God would say, and that our hearing would be right. We need to hear the Word of God. And then of our hand, that our work would be right for God. Our feet, that our walk would be right for God. All of these things, everything cleansed by the sprinkling of blood. Thank God tonight we have that precious thought and that knowledge of knowing that everything that was done in the Old Testament of the tabernacle worship and that Shekinah glory that came down from God was all because that blood was sprinkled there in that tabernacle. Amen. On the outer court, the inner court, in beside behind the veil, and even the priest that did the work is all covered by the blood. Isn't that a great picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture of what we are to have? It's by the blood, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to hear the word, that's the ear. We're to handle the work, that's the hand. And we're to have the walk, that's the... Oh, may God help us to have everything sprinkled with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we find the fifth glimpse, which was the last one tonight. We see in Leviticus number 16, this glimpse of substitution, that day of atonement. Now, I've intentionally not taken the book of Exodus that has the Passover, where we read tonight, because that's going to be another message entirely by itself. But thank God there is a Passover. And that Day of Atonement is connected with that. And we find there the substitute is given. Now in the book of Leviticus chapter number 16, we have here the verses. We'll not take time to read them. You ought to go home tonight and maybe read Leviticus 14, 15, and 16. You'll find that chapter 16 has to do with the Day of Atonement. And there we find the substitute. The substitute. Thank God tonight I had a substitute on Calvary's tree. If I hadn't have had that substitute, if you hadn't had that substitute, we'd all have to die for our sin. And we cannot do that. Because a sinner cannot die for sin. It just doesn't work that way. It doesn't suffice. It does not do the work, does not do the job. But the sinless had to die, sinner. And there he became my substitute. He became my propitiation. And we find here in Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement, there the substitute. In verse number 7, verse number 9, you'll find there that there are two goats that are given, and they bring those in. One goat, the lot falls upon him, and he's the one that dies, and the other is the one that goes free. There we find the perfect picture of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. One's blood was shed before the Lord. The Bible says there in verse number 15 of Leviticus chapter 16, it says here that when they shall kill the goat of the sin offering, that is for the people, bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Why'd that have to be done? Because, thank God, there's one coming after that, the Lamb of God, that was going to sprinkle the blood, I believe, there in heaven as a token for our salvation, that he died for us. I believe the blood of Jesus Christ. You can argue with me if you want to. That's all right. But I believe the literal blood of Christ is there in heaven tonight. And it's there showing that Christ died for us. And we have life through his name. And here we find this goat is taken and he's slain. He takes the blood back behind the veil, the scripture says. It's a beautiful picture. And the high priest goes back there. He goes there and he takes that blood and he sprinkles it around the altar. And he sprinkles it around the mercy seat. He sprinkles it on it. And it's all because of what it means. And if he doesn't do that, then the type is all messed up. And we don't have what we need in the New Testament. You see, the Bible says these things are given that we might know. The law of God is given that we might understand. And these things are given that we might have this. And so that blood is there. And it shows that we've been justified. We've been saved by the blood. That blood is there and it's given for us and it's there making a token for us even tonight. Now we have the other goat. What does it do with it? Well, they take the blood that's left, some of the blood that's left of that first goat that is killed. The priest takes his hands that are bloody hands. Can you imagine how he went back there behind that veil? He was all dressed up in his priestly garb and I mean everything was just right because if it wasn't, he wasn't going to live. And if he went back there with sin in his life, he had to make sacrifice for his own sin before he could go behind the veil and make sacrifice for the sin of Israel. Thank God the Son of God didn't have to make sacrifice for his own sin. He was the sacrifice. And he was the propitiation. But here he goes back there, he takes his hands and he sprinkles the blood and he comes out, his hands are bloody and showing the guilt and showing the sin. And he takes his hands and he puts upon the head of that other goat. And he wipes that blood off his hands on that other goat. And the Bible says a man that is fit, a fit man, takes that other goat, takes him out into the desert, out into the wilderness, and lets him go. What a good picture that is. Oh, what a blessed thought. Jesus Christ is not only my slain lamb, but he's my lamb, my scapegoat. He's the one that takes it away. Not only is it there on the altar, forgiven, but he takes it away and never to return again. And there are these two goats are. And the priest takes that blood of the substitute. Israel's sin, the Day of Atonement only came once a year. Israel's sin is pushed forward for another year. The next year came along, the high priest had to do the very same thing. He had to have sacrifice for his own sin. He had to take the two goats. Had to take those two. And had to go back behind the veil. Had to do it again. Push the sins forward another year. Year after year, year after year, that high priest, the high priest dies, another high priest comes on the scene, has to do the same thing, over and over and over again. No wonder the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that our Savior entered once. He didn't have to go again. He entered once into the holy place. He entered there for you and I as our substitute. And he places the blood there as a token of his death that you and I might have life. He is my substitute. He is my sacrifice. He is my sprinkling of blood. He is my all in all, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that Jesus becomes the dying lamb, and he also becomes the other scapegoat that takes our sin away. Blood all the way through the Bible. Listen with me, if you would, just for a moment. In Genesis chapter number 4, you find the lamb is slain, and the blood is sprinkled for an individual. Thank God there's a lamb for an individual. In Exodus chapter number 12, you find the lamb is slain and the blood is sprinkled for an entire family. There where we read there tonight, he said, you take that blood over the doorpost of your family. And there the blood is shed and there the blood is sprinkled for family. In Leviticus chapter number 16, you'll find the lamb is slain and it is there for a nation. The sins of the nation are pushed forward for another year. But thank God when you come to the New Testament, John chapter number 1, John said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. It's not just an individual. It's not just a family. It's not just a nation. But it's for everyone that will come and believe, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus, our scapegoat, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse number 24, says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body. He's that scapegoat that took our sins upon him. He bare our sins in his own body. Jesus, our sin bearer, Hebrews 9:27, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. The glimpses of the blood. Every time you find it in the Word of God, it points to the Son of God. Calvary is the center focal point of this world. The Christ is the center person of the world. And the blood is the center particle or principle of the Word of God. And you belittle, you delete, you water down the blood of Jesus Christ, and you have no salvation whatsoever. Amen. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Without God shedding His blood, without the Son of God giving His life as an offering, as a substitute. No wonder the Bible says He is my propitiation. He's my substitute. He's the one that satisfies it all. And there the Lamb of God. John said, behold the Lamb. No longer is it just for an individual. No longer is it just for a family. No longer is it Israel. But thank God Jesus came to die for the world. And that through Him we might have life. Because He shed His blood upon Calvary's tree. One of the greatest studies you ever get into is the study of the tabernacle. And see how all those things point to the Son of God. And point to not only the Son of God, but point to His dying and to His shedding His blood. No wonder the Bible says, moreover, He sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. The precious blood of Christ. The greatest thing that ever was upon the face of God's earth. And then to say it's nothing. The Bible says, if we say we have no sin, it's like trampling underfoot the blood of Christ. You see, God puts a very high premium on His Son's blood. Everything from Genesis through Malachi points that Jesus was going to die. Everything you read, everything you find, every time you find the word blood, if it's not talking about individual, it's talking about that which has to do with the service of God, it always points to the Son of God. That one day was going to come as a lamb, slain, and give His life's blood that we might have life. Let's look once again there in the Word of God, where we read there in 1 Peter, where we read tonight the Scriptures concerning the blood of Jesus Christ. The Scripture says there that we have that blood because that it was before the foundation of the world. In 1 Peter tonight, and we see there chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as we know that we're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver, gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition of men, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish, without spot. The lamb had to die. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest. God, in days, eons of time, centuries gone by, before there was a world, God says, there's the Lamb. Amen. He didn't have to come up with a way. I'm glad my God doesn't get caught off guard. When man sinned, it wasn't a surprise to God. Because before there ever was a breath of man breathed up in the nostrils of man, God and the Father said, there's my Son, and that's the Lamb. And in the process of time, he was made manifest. He is made known to you and I. And God took from Genesis to Malachi to manifest the Lamb of God, to show him to you and I, to know without a shadow of a doubt that the blood of Jesus Christ is that element that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, that cleanses us from sin because of who he is, the Lamb of God, from the foundation of the world. Now that scares some people, but that's truth. Who verily was foreordained. That means he was ordained beforehand. But was manifest in these last times for you. Thank God it's for you. It's for me. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. If you want to believe God, if you want to trust God, get in this book and you'll find that there's no other way than the blood-sprinkled way. The way of the cross leads home. The way of that cross, oh, it's a blood-sprinkled way. It's a terrible-looking way. I can imagine that priest as he comes out with blood all over his hands, and he takes them and puts them on the head of that goat, and a fit man takes him out, takes him away, never to be seen again. Oh, it's a bloody way, yes, but that's the only way of salvation. That's what's been wrought in my life, and if you're saved, that's what's been done in your life. The blood has been shed. It has been given. Now we must receive it. We must believe him and trust him. Let's stand tonight.